book of Daniel, so I invite you to take your Bibles and join me in Daniel this morning. So you're turning to Daniel. One, it just came to my attention this morning, Brian and Margie Foster will be celebrating their 50th anniversary at the end of this week. So we praise the Lord for them and with them, and just wanted you to know that. You can celebrate along with them. Also, I needed to clear something up from last week. Now, I don't think this is something that I said in the first service. I think I just said this in the second service. But I was talking about the statue in chapter 2, and I said that it did not have 10 toes. And then I think I said it didn't have toes. Well, the statue does have toes. Chapter 2 does say it has toes. The point is that it doesn't designate 10 toes. So the issue in chapter 2 isn't the number of toes, it's the composition of the toes and feet, which are clay and iron together. Therefore, it just kind of crumbles, and like the Roman Empire, just sort of crumbled apart. The same thing then would be true of that kingdom. So I just wanted to make that clear. I was half right. But you know, to be half right is still to be wrong. And so you don't get any credit for half right. So I wanted to clear that up to make sure that you knew that. Also, someone else corrected me last week. They said, look, it's not just pickup trucks that are cutting to the front of the line. There's plenty of minivans that are doing that as well. And you know who you are, so we won't go any further on that. But that was a correction from last week as well. Now, today we are in Daniel chapter 8. And I wanted to begin backing up into chapter 7 and talk about the identity of the little horn. Last week we were introduced to one that is described in chapter 7 as the little horn. And then in chapter 8, we're going to see two singular horns. The first one is called the conspicuous horn. And then the second single horn is going to be referred to again as the little horn. Now we know that in Daniel and in these visions of Daniel that a horn represents a king. And so the question is, are these the same king? Is chapter 7 and chapter 8 referring to the same king? There are certainly similarities, but there are also some apparent differences. For instance, the little horn in chapter 7 is seen in relation to the fourth empire, which we believe to be the Roman Empire. And in chapter 8, the little horn is seen in relationship to the third empire that we believed to be the Greek Empire. Actually, that's, we'll see in the text today, is actually stated as the Greek Empire. So there's that apparent difference. I think you can still make the dates fit, but still, there's that apparent difference. Sometimes what is said about the little horn seems to point to something or someone more than the little horn itself. For example, when you go back to chapter 7, the little horn ends with the coming of the kingdom of the Son of Man. The little horn doesn't just fade out. It comes to a radical end. And what ends the little horn is the coming of the Son of Man and the establishment of his dominion, of his kingdom. And so it would seem to be saying something more than just what we see historically with the kings of Greece, or after the kings of Greece. So let me say this, in as far as identifying the little horn, I would say, number one, first, the historic figure of Antiochus IV, or Antiochus Epiphanes, as he liked to refer to himself, is the little horn. He was the king of the Seleucid Empire. He ruled for about 10 years, 175 to 164 B.C., He was, like many other of the kings, was a very nasty and godless individual. But he is notorious because of his specific and intentional ferocious attack on the Jews. He sees, and we'll see more about him today in the message, he literally tries to wipe out the Jews from the face of the earth, their religion, their faith, and everything that has to do with them. He is so vicious against his attack against the Jews that his name becomes synonymous with his
act of desecration. He will become known as the abomination of desolation. So I would say that first of all, the historic figure of Antiochus IV is the little horn. Then I would say that the historic figure of Antiochus points to and portrays another who will follow in his footsteps one day, only worse. Jesus in Matthew 24 reaches back to Daniel, and he references Daniel specifically. And in referencing Daniel, he projects a time in the future where God's people will suffer again at the hands of this little horn, and that this suffering will happen until the Son of Man comes. Then John, in his first letter, makes reference to the Antichrist, to a specific one. John says, you have learned or you have heard of Antichrist who is coming, and I tell you today there are many Antichrist. From that reference, it would be clear to me that he's referring to one specific Antichrist. Then, in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, John describes a blasphemous beast who makes war against the saints and the people of God for a time, then is defeated and judged by the Son of Man at his coming. So, I would say that the identity of the little horn, first of all, begins with a historic figure, Antiochus. We'll learn more about him this morning. And yet, he points to and portrays one who is coming in the future that is like him, only worse. He's the one that Jesus refers to in Matthew 24, that John refers to in his epistle, and also in Revelation 13. Now, with that, the interpretation of these visions is difficult. It was certainly difficult for Daniel. So difficult that Daniel gets the aid of angels to help him in the interpretation. You see that chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. Now, the angel that he gets in chapter 7, it doesn't refer to him as an angel, it just says that one is standing there. And throughout all the other visions, we see that he gets aid from an angel. And so I think we can rightly assume that it's an angel that's standing there, maybe Gabriel. And Daniel, who is very troubled, asks him to give him further explanation about this vision that he has received. This is the vision of chapter 7. Now, I love the chapter 7 angel. He is my kind of angel because in essence, he says to Daniel, this is my paraphrase, but in essence, he says to